This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Hi, I'm David, also known as Davide. I work on the front desk during the Mad Wednesday show and take phone calls and help the guests out and open the door for people and do other office admin tasks. I've been on Joy for about 2 years. I joined because I've been a member for a long time and wanted to be part of the station, which is such a great station. And what can I say? There's so much to love about the station, being here, so many great people to work with and meet. I'm just here once a week and I enjoy the morning, waking up on the Wednesday morning and knowing that I've got Joy to look forward to at the end of the day.
It's Wednesday the 23rd of May. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Tom Morgan. This week is National Volunteer Week, an annual celebration to acknowledge the generous contribution of our nation's volunteers. Here at Joy, we have over 300 volunteers, both on the mics and behind the scenes, helping to keep us out loud and proud. The one you just heard was David Durango, who is one of our operations assistants, manning the front of house here at Joy. Our AOs aren't just the face of Joy, but a direct connection to our communities. Tonight on the show, we look at the law when it falls outside the gender binary, as we speak to Sam Elkin, an LGBTIQ outreach lawyer at St Kilda Legal Services in Victoria. New in the role, Sam is starting to get a sense of the variety of legal needs every letter of our rainbow alphabet needs, so we can legally fight for a more inclusive and equal space for every Victorian in our communities. We head to New South Wales, where we speak to Rainbow Families, who are preparing a report into the discrimination LGBTIQ parents face when accessing federal government services. They want to hear from rainbow parents around the country so that they can advocate for changes on these important issues that affect LGBTIQ parents and their families. And we speak to Carers Queensland, the first not-for-profit organisation to be accredited with the Rainbow Tick in Queensland, joining a growing number of businesses in Australia offering a welcoming and safe workplace for people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or intersex.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au, or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Now on The Informer, we speak to LGBTIQ outreach lawyer at St Kilda Legal Services, Sam Elkin. Sam's role is part of a health justice partnership with the Victorian AIDS Council. Not only needing to get the broadness of the law for our diverse rainbow, part of the role is providing information, advice and some casework in the areas of debt, infringement, tenancy, employment, discrimination, minor criminal law, family violence, family law, issues around change of name, Centrelink, NDIS and so on. But when it comes to our community and the law, Broad doesn't even begin to cover it. Now, Dean Arcuri speaks to Sam Elkin, LGBTIQ outreach lawyer from St Kilda Legal Services.
What is an LGBTIQ outreach lawyer? Yeah, good question. So I've come on board last week with St Kilda Legal Service as the inaugural LGBTIQ outreach lawyer. So there hasn't been one before in a dedicated role like this. And I'm working in a health justice partnership with the Victorian AIDS Council. And I'm going to be delivering services on site to VAC clients and other people that want some legal advice and support. And I'm intending to provide legal information and advice and some casework in a whole range of areas. So criminal law, civil law, little bit of family law, family violence, any issue that comes through the door, I'll endeavour to at least make an appropriate referral and help people navigate the complex legal networks.
That's not a small thing. It's big in the scope of anything people can come into in regard to, but even bigger when you turn that around and look at it from an LGBTIQ space. Depending on the letter, the laws can mean different things for those parts of the population. That's quite a huge endeavour.
Yeah, it is. In Queensland and Sydney, they've got dedicated LGBTIQ legal services, so we don't have anything like that. We've got some wonderful community legal centres that provide evening advice services and do some outreach to Queer Space, for example. Fitzroy Legal does that, which is wonderful, and Victoria Legal Aid does some anti-discrimination law. But yeah, we've never had anything like it in Victoria before. I guess part of my job is going to be, you know, we suspect that there is a lot of unmet legal need out there. We don't necessarily have a lot of hard data on that. And this is a 2-year program, and I'll just be trying to help people in any way I can. And that way we'll get to build up a picture on what the legal need is out there.
One of the letters that wasn't mentioned when we sit within LGBTIQA is the other factors that are involved when it comes to the law. We were discussing before putting this piece together the fact that you're non-binary. And when we're sitting in the space of the law, non-binary people within our communities can feel even further disconnect and isolation when they're trying to broach and approach things in regard to the law, because it doesn't really fit or create a space for them.
Yeah, definitely. I think that non-binary people have a lot of different issues, and which particularly come to the forefront when you're dealing with legal issues. So, you know, for the most part, legal issues are about paperwork, and non-binary people and people that don't, fit their assigned sex in some way have a lot of problems with paperwork. So whether that be things like, you know, birth, death and marriage is documents such as birth certificates and so on, they're the kind of like big primary documents that non-binary people often have a lot of trouble with. But when you're being, say, for example, you've got, 50 infringement warrants out for you, and they're all in your former name and all in your wrong sex, that could just be an added layer that is going to prevent you from looking at that mail, opening it and dealing with it. And particularly if you've had experiences of attempting to get legal help before and you've been misgendered or not understood in some kind of fundamental way, you're probably going to be less likely to attempt to access the service. And what we do know about legal problems is that when you don't address them, they do tend to become worse. So yeah, I'm attempting to provide a service that is open and accessible to non-binary people.
How do you then navigate that on the other side of the law, which is a very complex space to navigate and work within?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things. Certainly in a courtroom environment, so whether that be a court or a tribunal space, they're formal spaces, and people tend to use, Mr. or Ms. And there's really not an opportunity, if you're appearing in front of a magistrate or a tribunal member, there isn't really that much scope to just sort of say, oh, look, before we begin, just want you to know that I use they, them pronouns. Perhaps there is space to do that, and somebody like myself previously hasn't felt confident to kind of take that space, and maybe that's something for the non-binary lawyers out there, wherever you are, let's have a meeting and chat about it, talk about how we can take that space. But I do think it's fair to say that courts tend to be a little bit more old-fashioned, a little bit more formal in the way that they approach things, and that can be more difficult for people that fall outside the mainstream in a range of ways to access and feel understood.
When we look at, say, the past year and the narratives that occurred with the postal survey around Australia and things in relation to the law, it's really allowed us to create a different space for what it means when you don't sit outside box A and box B, when it sits into a legal space. And we're seeing a lot more conversations now in relation to what it means to be transgender, what that means from a legal point of view. There's submissions in regard to paperwork.
Yeah, I mean, there does seem to be a real appetite for change. Obviously, the marriage equality result last year, which was, a 13-year campaign for change, and, it's one that I've observed as both a, volunteer and a, participant, and somebody who's at various times become very demoralised. And so it is amazing to see a massive legal change like that happen. And it's obviously created some further, requirements that governments are now you know, required to do. So, for example, you know, what we call the trans divorce issue that's gone through Parliament just this week, where, you know, transgender people are no longer going to be required to get divorced from their spouse that cares for them just so that they can get a birth certificate in their correct gender. So, you know, there's a lot of legal changes, I suppose smaller legal changes that are coming from that bigger initial change in the law. I do think that the change to the marriage laws has opened up a space where activists and, you know, people for, with all different identities across the spectrum can say, hey, what about me? What about us? The law isn't working for me in this way and that way, and it's leaving out all of these people. And I think that there's a conversation both within the community and within government institutions that there never was before, where people actually want to engage with you about these questions and are actually trying to make things better, which is exciting.
In the past, for a lot of us, we've sat back and we've complained about these spaces or advocated for them or picketed against them or tried to do anything to create these voices. But now, within Victoria, with you here, there is an avenue where people can actually engage, helping to work towards making the law work for them.
So if somebody wants to get in contact with me to get some initial information or advice about a particular legal issue, they can certainly contact me by just sending me an email. That's probably the easiest thing to do at this stage. So it's Sam, which is SAM, at skls.org.au. Otherwise, they can just contact the Victorian AIDS Council and they'll shoot me an email and I'll get in touch from there. Or they can contact me at the St Kilda Legal Service as well. So, yeah, all roads lead to my email address one way or another.
For a lot of people, when it's come to the law, when they identify outside of these boxes, they've spent a lot of time not wanting to approach it. We are finding that there's still a lot of work we have to do to be able to go, this is the pathway that you can do. What would you say to people who are possibly hesitant when it comes to stepping forward and asking for help in regard to the law?
Look, I guess I'd say that, you know, I'm here. I really want to help people. I understand that, you know, addressing legal issues at time is like not the funnest thing to do. It might be the last thing on your list of things to do, or you might have some criminal charges and might urgently need to address them. And I'm certainly here to have a confidential and I hope a safe and accessible chat where, you know, I will do everything I can to make sure I understand you and where you're coming from and not make heaps of assumptions before you even walk through the door.
That was Sam Elkin here on The Informer, LGBTIQ outreach lawyer from St Kilda Legal Services.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
Rainbow Families is preparing a report into the discrimination LGBTIQ parents face when accessing federal government services, and they want to hear from you. Do you have an experience with Medicare, applying for a passport, adoption and fostering, ART, surrogacy, or the census? Then you can add your voice and be a part of advocating for changes on these important issues that affect LGBTIQ parents and their families. Dina Curie and I spoke to Kathy from Rainbow Families to find out about what it takes to add your voice to help make change for Rainbow Families.
The latest project that we're working on is a survey for our community on their experiences interacting with federal government agencies. We did a big project last year where we spoke to people about their interactions with state government agencies and the discrimination that LGBTI families face, and we're sort of replicating that but with the federal, with a focus on the federal sphere. So things like when people have been interacting and dealing with Centrelink or Medicare or trying to get passports and constantly having to cross out mother, father on forms or have really awkward conversations with the people at the post office when they're applying for passports for their children. What we plan on doing with that is gathering it all together, producing a report and then providing that to federal members of parliament in the hope that some of those things will change. We've had a great deal of success already in terms of the advocacy we've done around state issues, and so we're really interested in talking to federal MPs about these issues.
The reality of things like this is it's not really something that we think of, especially after the year that we've had where we've fought so much to get equal rights, and we often see, you know, children being, and families, rainbow families being pushed into a space. But these kind of mundane, day-to-day, natural things is the things that really, there's still a lot of inequality for rainbow families, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned the postal survey last year, and I think that really brought to the fore some of the really negative experiences for a lot of people in our community. And, you know, just these little things like dealing with bureaucracy can sort of remind people of those experiences. And, yeah, I mean, it can seem mundane, but it also, you know, in that way, seemingly should be fairly simple for government agencies to respond to a lot of the things that we will be asking them, like simply, you know, providing a new form that reflects the reality of our families. And the reality of our families, as they're already accepted in the law, we're not asking for sort of major things here. Hopefully those things should be easier than some of the bigger things that we fought for, like marriage equality.
In regards to this, though, we do need a lot of, you know, rainbow parents and rainbow families to step up and add their voices to it and be able to put this information. So what is it that you guys are doing?
We have an online survey and we're just asking people about their experiences. And it's really simple. You just go to the Rainbow Families website, which is rainbowfamilies.com.au. And it's just under the links to our advocacy. You can also link through to it from our Facebook pages. And it's a really simple, I mean, it's maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and we're asking people to tell us about their experiences. So what are the experiences that they've had, you know, trying to obtain citizenship for children if they've been born overseas? Have they had problems with particular agencies like Medicare or Centrelink? Because it's actually those experiences and those personal stories that are the things that can really cut through when you are talking, you know, it's nice to have a report with lots of stats and figures, but when you humanise the stories, when you explain to someone, actually, this is what it felt like when I had a really awkward conversation explaining to the person at the post office that my partner and I are actually the legal parents, and yes, we've crossed out something on an official form, but that's what DFAT told us to do 5 years ago when we applied for a passport, and 5 years later, we're still doing the same thing. So it is those personal stories that really have a lot of cut through with those government agencies and with the people that can actually make the change. What we're asking people to do is just go to our website and fill out our survey.
Do you find that those sorts of bureaucratic details, as opposed to the sort of campaigning side of it, tends to get dismissed when you try to bring up these conversations?
With the community, I think sometimes people might feel like this is a little bit less important because they're irritations that they're so used to. But I guess what we're saying is that it doesn't need to be this way. And, you know, we know that inclusive language is a really powerful thing. It is something that can make people feel included or excluded. And making simple changes to forms can actually have a really profound ongoing impact in terms of the way people are respected in their communities and the way our LGBTI families are actually recognised by other people.
I think it importantly acknowledges the fact that we need to create a space where we are advocating more for rainbow families and not just for the individuals that exist within our communities that often get a large portion of the voice. In regard to this, you know, it would be difficult for parents to constantly have to have this same conversation at the teller with why they've done something on the form, or have to keep explaining in a family circumstance that this is my family and have to justify it even in a simple way. And as much as we often talk about perhaps the difficulty of a person constantly having to explain to someone the right pronoun, or single people of LGBTIQ persuasion having to justify their sexuality or explain what it is, this is a scenario where this is a family, and I think we need to create a larger conversation to realise what it means for a family to constantly keep having these conversations. It does impact the parents, it does impact the children, and this has a greater effect.
Yeah, absolutely. And that impact on the kids is actually, you know, it's one thing for parents to advocate on behalf of their families and one thing for adults to do it. But when you are requiring kids to explain their families to other people, I mean, that's not something that I think is fair for society at large to ask of our kids. So for us, you know, advocating on these kind of issues is just really important because that takes the burden off our kids. I mean, it takes the burden off the parents in our community as well, but I just think it's really important that, I mean, in terms of a broader education piece to the broader community, you know, simple things, simple changes like asking about parents rather than mother and father. In the same way, you know, people have discussed the importance of asking people what their pronouns are, or asking if someone has a partner rather than a husband and a wife. These are really simple changes that that don't actually cost anyone anything, but they make a more inclusive society for everyone.
That was Kathy from Rainbow Families. Rainbow Families Survey is a follow-up to Rainbow Families New South Wales consultation with our community about their experience with state government services. Rainbow Families are looking at the experiences of our community interacting with federal government services and departments, and if you would like to add your voice to this, head to rainbowfamilies.com.au/advocacy.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Does your organisation have the Rainbow Tick? The Rainbow Tick supports organisations to understand and implement LGBTI inclusive service delivery and ensures LGBTI consumers and staff that Rainbow Tick organisations will be aware of and responsive to their needs. Standards are applicable to any organisation, regardless of industry, and supports organisations to develop and implement inclusive practices for the LGBTI community. Carers Queensland is the first not-for-profit organisation in Queensland to be accredited with the Rainbow Tick, joining a growing number of businesses in Australia offering a welcoming and safe workplace for people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or intersex. Now on The Informer, Dean Arcuri speaks with Jim Toohey, President of Carers Queensland, about what was involved in getting the organisation accredited for the Rainbow Tick.
Carers Queensland is an organisation that advocates and supports unpaid carers. Now, that's 400,000 people in Queensland who dedicate a good part of their life to caring for someone with a disability, someone with an illness, someone who's aged, etc., etc. So that sort of army of people that currently saves Australia about $40 billion a year in paid care.
You were the first not-for-profit in Queensland to receive a Rainbow Tick accreditation. Was this something that you guys worked very hard towards so that you could have that?
Yeah, there was a lot of work and preparation that went into it, Dean, but it was a journey which began in January last year because the organisation felt that we needed to specifically recognise, you know, the army of unpaid carers who were members of the LGBTQI community.
Was it something that was actually for both sides of the coin when you kind of look at it and think there's many of the unpaid carers who are LGBTIQ, but then there's also the people that they're caring for, and having this kind of certification can make quite a difference in regard to people feeling welcome and accepted?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that was the driving factor with it. Carers are often invisible or feel invisible in the community. They're not recognised, their contribution isn't recognised. When you look at the LGBTQ community, I mean, there's another layer of invisibility, of not being recognised, of almost not being able to happily and joyfully be who you really are. So that was the driving factor behind it.
Jim, what was involved in actually working towards getting the Rainbow Tick?
Okay, well, we were accredited or audited by an organisation who really engaged with our staff all the way from governance at board level to service delivery. What they wanted to look at was what steps had we taken, and we are on a journey, Dean. I want to emphasise that. You know, I don't think we will ever arrive, but it's a journey. But what steps we were taking to make sure our clients and our staff knew that or understood that they were welcome, that they were included, that we really recognised that they had probably not so much special needs, but they had been part of a community which hadn't been recognised and made to feel included in the past, and we wanted to do that. So they looked at policies, procedures, they looked at some of the programs we ran, they talked to a lot of staff, a lot of carers, they talked to myself and other members of the board, and I guess we felt really honoured. We felt that we had, you know, made some real headway into ensuring that our culture is one inclusive for everybody.
So when you look at, say, before and after, if we look at before and after with the Rainbow Tick, what the environment was like, because I think for a lot of businesses, a lot of businesses may often feel that this seems like something that's huge and daunting, And when you're talking about this now, you're letting us know they looked at a lot of different areas. They looked at a lot of different spaces within your organisation. But once the train started running, what was it like? How easy was it to be able to actually think of these inclusive practices, make these changes, and create a more inclusive space for LGBTI people?
Look, I think you've hit the nail right on the head, Dean. It's that train gets moving. So all decisions, all strategies, all operational policies start to become infused with the recognition that this is a community that has felt invisible, has felt isolated, has felt unable to be who they are. So start thinking about, you know, here's a particular strategy we're looking at. How do we ensure that the members of that community feel that they're included, that they're welcome, that they're understood and appreciated? So everything you look at starts to get imbued with that. And it becomes second nature. It's not something that I'd suggest any business necessarily be terrified of. It's a great feeling. Quite honestly, it is.
The audit that happened took place over quite a few of your locations, Camphill, Ipswich, Toowoomba.
Yep.
Yeah. Was that easy to kind of have that investigation and audit happen across a broad range of spaces?
Look, it's a challenge. Getting audited for anything is a challenge, so it was a challenge. But what was pleasing was that the auditors found that it had started to become ingrained in the culture, because even those sites, quite isolated from each other, showed the same sort of progress and the same sort of journey. So, look, from a logistics perspective, at times it was challenging, but it was nothing that was too daunting.
And what's the next step now? Now that you've got this accreditation, also that wasn't the only one you received. You also received the Health and Community Standards accreditation. Both awarded by the Quality Initiative Performance Limited. To get this rainbow tick, you've got that now. You're putting everything into practice, but what's the next step and stage to go further?
Look, I think it is, as I said, to continue along this journey of making sure all of our practices, policies, procedures, including Carers Queensland, is one of the largest local area coordinators for the NDIS. So making sure that all of our practices reflect that genuine inclusivity. We will be re-audited. You know, it's not something that you get a tick and it's there forever. So you're re-audited. So hopefully each time that occurs, Dean, the auditors will note further progress, which will be all more pleasing to us. But it's a train that we're definitely not getting off, or we're not going to slow up on.
And do you think having this kind of visibility also makes a really big difference in creating spaces for engagement with other businesses and organisations to be able to think about having these conversations and do this work as well?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I don't want to hold us up as any sort of role model, but I would like to say to other businesses and organisations out there that this opens your eyes. You start to gain a greater understanding of, you know, decades to some people that you'll meet of feeling as if they have to hide, as if they're invisible. So it's really something that's very, very inspiring.
Jim Toohey, President of Carers Queensland, thank you for joining us tonight on The Informer.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dean.
That was Jim Toohey, President of Carers Queensland.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
And that's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. Remember, this week is National Volunteer Week, and we want to give a big shout out to the team on air and behind the scenes here at The Informer, bringing current affairs for your communities, keeping our voices out loud and proud. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom Morgan.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.